see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. But mother's cry calls the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Armies in the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Hello, welcome to the Watching for Jesus Bible Study for tonight. My name is Thomas Campbell. I'm the host of this Bible study every night, Monday through Friday, brought to you by the Watching for Jesus Network, which belongs to us all, and I welcome you to this Bible study. I also have a broadcast, if anybody's joining me for the first time, from 4 to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday, also at watchmenforjesus.com. You also can listen to me on talkstreamlive.com at the same time period. Family, tonight I'm going to talk about several parts of the end times events. And we're talking about all this week. And just trying to make some sense out of them. As it seems that we are coming up close to some very significant events. We're yet to see the man of sin. We can see the falling away being developed. And in high-level theologians, at international level, TV level, whatever, they're trying to get people to believe we're already in tribulation in one form or another. It depends on which theologian you talk to or listen to or whatever, which we're not in the tribulations yet. No way possible. It's kind of like this. It's very simple, in a way. It's wintertime. And that's in Massachusetts and New York, they probably say that's the understatement. What is everybody looking for? Well, right now they're shoveling snow. Digging deep. It's ice cold. When the snow finally melts in a month or two or something, they're going to start looking for little leaves, little trees, little flowers, little purple and so forth, looking desperately for these little flowers in the yard. You know, they're looking for the temperature to go to the 50s and 60s and looking for the cherry blossoms to come out. Hold a breath for each day that maybe this is the last one, it's going to be cold. Till they finally see those little tiny flowers only come out for a short period of time. I look for those. I really like them. You know, they're so small you can't see them. You have to look closely and they're a little purple, whatever they are, I don't know what you call them. It's like they're only there for a few weeks or so. Before you know it, you're in the springtime. Then you hit the summer. Kind of spring, summer kind of comes together to, you know, June, July, August. It's hot, man. It's like, this is miserable. So now you complain about the heat. Depends where you live, actually. North Carolina, we don't worry about it much because it's cold. It's not really cold and hot, not really hot. Kind of middle. Wherever you are, you look for the leaves to change color. They turn colors. We're in the fall. Don't need a calendar, really. You see the signs of the time. The signs are different for each season. Well, same thing for the end time events. Things start changing. You start seeing a change in people. There's a change in the news. There's things that come out. God will tell you what's going on. You just have to have your antenna up, have your knowledge of the Bible, say under your belt, to be aware of what the signs of the times are. It's what Jesus hit on many times. It irritated him that people didn't read the Bible, didn't know even back then. Can't you tell by the signs of the times? Don't you know that the prophecies of the coming Messiah of the Old Testament was over 300 prophecies. 300. There's some yet to be fulfilled. Now, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast before I get started. I'm anxious again to get started. What's going on here? Anyway, discern the signs of the times. Is tonight. I'm going to talk specifically about the rapture a little later. Some commentary at the very beginning, which I've already started pretty much. And then I want to move on into the rapture part and just discuss it. And no, I can't tell you when the rapture is going to be, neither can anybody else. They claim they can, but they can't. It's impossible. God's not going to tell anybody the exact time of day. How come people can't figure that out? Do you really work for somebody or something? I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to cover some details tonight for you. Then you do your own study. Thank you tonight, Lord. We come together for another Bible study. Father, in this day, time. Lord, we call upon you to bless us tonight with wisdom and discernment. Protect us that we study tonight to keep our minds straight, clear, and open. When we learn, Father, you give us wisdom and discernment to see past it. Everybody has something to bring to this table that, Father, we all learn something different every time. I do. And Lord, that we pray, I pray that you listen to the prayers tonight. Not only for prayers that we're praying now, but Lord, you know the hearts of those who have specific requests and specific issues that they want to bring to you, Lord. We call upon you, Lord, to answer those prayers, if it be thy will. Open up that channel, Lord, by letting us know what holds back answers to our prayers. Give us wisdom, discernment, to be able to see through while sometimes our prayers are not answered. And when prayers are answered, Lord, that we pray you guide us through those answered prayers and help us to understand them. We pray for our families. We pray for the veterans, Lord. We pray for our citizens, our friends, those, Lord, that heaven does not know, Lord, that, Lord, you'll bring it to them through divine appointments, one way or the other. We pray, Lord, that you'll open the eyes of those in control, of those that can make a difference at the highest level to bring the Word of God to people, that, Lord, you'll give them the opportunity to do so, and that the anointing of the Holy Spirit will come, but in thy will, it'll be done. These things we pray, in the name of your Son, Jesus, Lord. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. What does everybody strive for in America? The American dream. I'd say about 90%, 90, no, I'd say 98, 99% of people don't really know what the real American dream is. The American dream isn't what we dream. The American dream was to put all the cultures together in one body of land called the North American continent. And since the 10th century, well, it took them 1,000 years to do it, and they did it. That's the real American dream. The American dream of having wealth and prosperity and gold and silver and all this and liberty and all that was just to lure everybody here on a major plan that Satan had set up to focus on the North American continent. The American dream was really the dream of the elite, controlled by Satan, not God. God never intended for man to work. You ever think about that? We've done it for so long, it's like, well, we got to work. Man, you're not a man until you work. You make money and you bring home family. That was a result of sin. You ever think about that? Adam and Eve, God knew what would happen with free will, but he still gave them the opportunity to make the choice. Free will, unconditional love. Make a robot, you don't have unconditional love. So the free will, he knew, had to play out. He knew that Eden would be taken away and man would be cursed to work the ground. That's what it is, it's a curse. We don't think of it that way much anymore. We think it, a man's not a man unless he works for a living and he brings home the bacon and the beans and all that, and the woman's a homemaker and all. Family, that was put upon us by sin. You ever think about that? God never intended us for the work. He intended us only not to be distracted, but to worship him and him alone. And to commune with him in the Garden of Eden with the food provided. It would be fruit, vegetables, whatever, that you eat for pleasure. Because immortality, you don't need to eat to survive. But after man sinned, blood began to flow in the veins. Heart had to pump the blood to keep the cells alive because the body started to die. Man was the first blood sacrifice. So animals were used in place of Jesus, in place of a coming Messiah. Sacrifice an animal, a live animal, an innocent animal, for foreshadowing the coming of the Messiah. As was the tithing and as was the Sabbath, to foreshadow the coming of the Messiah. Once he's here, Sabbath was any day is okay, not just one day. It wasn't for the Gentiles anyway. The Sabbath was the shadow of things to come. Well, he came, so no longer Sabbath. But doesn't mean you don't worship him on that day, a day, whatever you pick. Same thing for tithing. Holy Spirit tells you, but it wasn't before. So the Old Testament was already in existence. Because even Jesus cited for this written, and it would tell anything. Okay, so back to what I was talking about. The Old Testament was written already. It gave prophecy of 360-some prophecies of a coming Messiah. So if the people were interested, were worshiping God by the Old Testament, they would have known that Jesus was the coming Messiah. They would have known the signs of the time. You see? They would have known. He comes in on a donkey. There he is. Even the disciples would have known. They hung with him until he died, and they should have known. His hands and feet were pierced. His legs were not broken. Soldiers divided his garments. He'd be betrayed by a friend. All these were 360-some prophecies, of which 300 were fulfilled when Jesus came in. They did a study of 7 prophecies being fulfilled by one man, and the possibilities, the chances of one man fulfilling 7 prophecies of the Old Testament was astronomical. Much less 300 of them. And some yet to be fulfilled. Born in Bethlehem. He'll be sinless. God will send one to prepare the way for him. The Spirit of God will be with him. He'll ride to Jerusalem on a donkey. All these were all through the Old Testament. Men who wrote as they were moved by the Spirit of God. So in this sinful world we live in today, making money, man, being rich is the American dream. Well, that's not really the American dream. That's the lure to America by those outside to get all the cultures together so they don't mingle. That's another story. That's documented. I have this document. Everything's documented here. Secretly, the American dream was to put all the cultures together so they'd be combined and to kill off, literally, all pure cultures and races and protect the intermingled race, which was accomplished in October of last year. It was reported that's been accomplished. Now, the killing off of the races that's pure of all the races, except for their combined race, is now in the plans. That's World War III, by the way. Satan is prince of this world, but he's not king. God gives you the signs of the times. Satan gives you rewards that are fleeting. Love is eternal. Wealth is fleeting. And it costs a lot of money, a lot of time to be wealthy. You know that, don't you? It's expensive to be wealthy. Expensive to be wealthy. They did a study back in the 60s of, then it was $1 million lotteries and all that. That was a big deal back then. Today it's like $500 million or something. They did a study in the 1980s, I think it was, of the 1960s when they started doing the lottery and $1 million winner and all that. They found their lives, and about 3/4 of them were worse off after they won the money than it was before. A Detroit man determined to walk more than 20 miles a day to get to and from work, inspired an online campaign by a college student that saw him walking to work to and back. For 10 years he did this, walking 20 miles a day to work. Detroit. And this college student said, you know, he needs to have a car. He's so dedicated to his work. So unbeknownst to this man, they started an online campaign where they raised $350,000. Bought him a brand new Taurus. And you see on the news, him being given all this. How many more are homeless But one made it because of a college student that raised an online campaign and so forth. Well, there's something to this. He's got to move. He doesn't feel safe. In one case, in December, an 86-year-old Detroit man went missing after reportedly winning $20,000 in a lottery game. He was found stabbed to death, and police charged a 20-year-old with his murder. This guy that walks 21 miles for the past 10 years when his car broke down, he couldn't buy another one, so he started walking for 10 years. He walked back and forth to work 20 miles a day. He's going to move. He has to move. You know why? Because he didn't feel safe. Because everybody's starting to ask him for money now. Everybody wants money from him now that he's wealthy. Give me your money now. You're wealthy. Let me have your money. So now he feels like he's got to move to a place where people don't know him. Wealth is fleeting. It's temporary. God never intended us to be wealthy. Joel Osteen will tell you different. The prosperity gospel will tell you different. He intended us all to be the same and to worship him. Working, the subjugation of the woman to the man head of household, that's normal. No, it was a result of sin. Now you work the land instead of me giving it to you. Woman, you will bear a child in pain, and you will be under subjugated under the man. Family, that was a curse. We see it differently today. Everybody wants that 2-car garage, 3-4 bedroom house minimum. You know that that is fleeting. In one instant, it could be gone. Just like that. In a second. Wealthy one day, and another second, you've got nothing but dipsy dumpster. In an investigation in 1924-27, in Canada, there was an investigation of the corrupt Canadian Customs and Excise Service. And Mr. H.H. Stevens of Parliament for Vancouver, he was appointed the Royal Commission to investigate the corruption of Canadian Customs and Excise Service between 1924 and 1927. Well, subsequent to this investigation, they made a discovery, surprising. There's more to it. They discovered plans, proved that there were plans to destroy the United States and Canada as nations. Evidence was presented before the Royal Commission in the early 1920s that the investigation in the customs of Canada revealed facts about this conspiracy to destroy the United States and Canada as nations. North American Union, NAFTA treaty. 98% of Americans are fooled through the control of the media. This is Satan's organization. He provides rewards, academic achievements, wealth, position, power. Here's my point. The evidence discovered, I'm not going to go through all the evidence, that's not my point. But number 4 piece of evidence they found, they discovered that, quote, the conspirators obtained such a control, number 3, they discovered that the conspirators established a new society in which the wealthiest members had made their money by illegal methods, and were thus forever beholden to those who made the successful operations possible. The majority of the newly rich can't help but carry out the request of those who made them rich because those who made them millionaires almost overnight can reduce them to poverty just as quickly if they so much as even hesitate to do their bidding. Unquote. You see, wealth is fleeting. It drives people to suicide, ulcers, divorces. You have it, boom, just like that. It can be gone, boom, just like that. Wealth is fleeting. It's control. Yet today we establish it as a measure of who a man is and who a woman is and whatever. You go to college to be wealthy. You must go to college. Yeah, they pick you out and they brainwash you with the Humanist Manifesto. You see what they've done? Oh, it's so clever. It's clever. We were meant and created. We were meant to worship, to walk with God in the garden. To worship Him and love each other. That's what we were created for. Nothing else. Everything else is free. Everything else is gravy. We've got it all wrong today in this materialistic world. It is temporary. Everything on this earth is temporary. You can't name one thing that's not temporary. Nothing. Nothing is permanent. Everything is temporary. Eternal and spiritual. Another dimension that you go to in heaven is permanent. But you got to go through the fire, man, the temptations, the tribulations to see whose side you're really on. American dream is not what people, not what we've been told. It's a facade. The American dream is temporary. When you die, all your trinkets and brooches and watches, rings, family heirlooms and I don't know what else becomes pawn shop bait. Your trophies, all that stuff, all the accomplishments, bucket list is for naught. It's good while you're alive. You can brag about it, think about it, wish you had to do it again, fall back on your old glory. But it's all gone. What's eternal is God's love, and the future of the eternity is what you look toward. If you have an eternity, look forward. But we see death education. We see death as a stopping point. You see your death. Is this it? Is this the time that I got to go? This is the end of it all? So you start looking back in the past of what I used to do instead of going forward. Because there's no going forward. Why? Because there's death. Well, no, there's not. There's eternal life, but where are you going to spend it? And let me tell you, it's not the Bahamas. It's heaven or hell. There's no in-between. In-between would be a reward. Annihilation of your soul as a sinner would be reward. God's told us, this is where we are, man, is what you're going through. And the only way to get eternal life in heaven is through Jesus Christ, to follow His lead. If you got Him inside you and you start doing bad, you start feeling guilty. If I can do evil and not feel anything, well, you better start worrying. And going to church means nothing. Putting money in the plate means nothing. Doing good deeds, leading little old ladies across the street, that doesn't mean a thing. That's the fruits of the Spirit when you become born again. Then you do those things, and you feel that good feeling. But when you're doing it to think you're going to get salvation, no, it's not going to work. You can't get baptized and think because I'm baptized, God's going to forgive me. Nope, don't work that way. I've got to acknowledge my sin. Lord, I did steal those things. Lord, I did these bad things I shouldn't have. That's acknowledging it. We acknowledge your evil. Acknowledge what you've done bad. Your thoughts that are bad. You acknowledge them. Let God know. Yeah, I did wrong. Boy, that's a step in the right direction. That means I've humbled myself enough to where I acknowledge this wrong. the Spirit starts moving. Said, okay, well, if you admit it, then I'll help you get through it. But if I start justifying it, then you haven't learned a thing. Everything is about pride. Football, clothing, job. Look what I did. Look what I'm doing. Aren't I good? Uh-huh. No. I've got to humble myself before the Lord. Wealth is fleeting. Now, it doesn't mean you go around being poor all the time. You work, you make your money. The meat, protein. The food to keep the body surviving for the mortal body. The immortal body doesn't need that anymore. It doesn't say in the millennium you're going to have barbecues. It's not there because you don't go around killing the lambs anymore. You don't have to put a saddle on them either and go ride them around. You know, you don't have to eat horse meat. You don't have to eat to survive because God will provide. It's fruits, it's vegetables, it's things that grows from the ground that God provides. But today, you need the meat, you need the protein, you need the... the vitamins and whatever that's required to sustain your body that's dying. You see? Therefore, you work for your food, you work for everything you do. Because of the curse. Some of these things just come to me on occasion. And I don't know. It just boggles my mind sometimes that these things that come up is contrary to how I think. Because I'm human. I just realize it. The mortal body we take for granted. The immortal body is immortal. Doesn't need blood. Doesn't need a heart to beat. Doesn't need nutrients. Because you're immortal. That's how Adam and Eve started off, you see. Fruit, trees, things that God provided by growth. It was to eat for pleasure. You didn't have to eat an apple or whatever it is to survive because it was for pleasure. Marriage supper of the Lamb. He doesn't have cooks up there to make sure you get your right nutrients. It's celebration. Because you're immortal. It's pleasure. That's what's coming. But in the meantime, we got to go through this life and deal with it. The temptations are coming, the tribulations are coming, the trials are coming. Some people have already went through, they've died proclaiming about Jesus Christ in other countries. America is coming. We can't hold on this way much longer. Signs of the times, we've turned away from God. I don't see why people expect to pray for God to bring back the Republic or the Constitution when we're turning away from God. The people are not thinking. They're not thinking right. Why would God bring back the Republic or a Constitution or a great America, the American Dream and all that, when we're right now 3/4 of the states of same-sex marriage, openly, men, women kissing and hugging and whatever else, and we're killing babies, 50 million, I don't know how many more, getting ready to child sacrifice in Oregon and Texas, child euthanasia, legalizing drugs. It's all about bam, 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 bam. And the wars we've been in have all been illegal against God because they've been orchestrated. I've explained this over and over. What we've done in America with slavery? Come on now. Lynching, sanctioned murder. And God's going to bless that. And 750,000 missing children. 525,000 are unaccounted for every year. Come on now. God's not going to bless this country. We're going down. That's a guarantee. It's in the prophecy anyway. Focus will be on Israel in the end times. We've got to face the truth here. And they know by getting the states to authorize to lift the ban on same-sex marriage and make it normal. They know they'll drive God away from us. They know that at the highest level. And that's what they're shooting for. That the ones doing all this don't know that. They don't know that they're filling their own death warrant. Family, get right with Jesus Christ and stay that way. Don't let up. Don't give up. Stay to the end. Because you, here in America, you're going to be tested. Right now, you can go to a grocery store anytime you want to, right? Some people can't even do that in America. There's something wrong with that picture. The other day, Sunday, I go to Winston-Salem sometimes to a certain restaurant on two times a month. And this one I went through this past Sunday, and guy sitting on a chair and bench outside and on the way to the restaurant and says, "You got a minute?" And I said, "Sure, what?" He said, "I'm a veteran, I'm homeless." He showed me his ID card. Oh. I gave him some money and I showed him my ID card. There should never be a reason why anybody should be homeless in this country. No reason whatsoever. Nobody should be homeless, but they are. They sure can spend money on a baseball card, though. And a comic book for, you know. We got judgment coming on us. Ooh, it's going to get ugly. Not far down the road. Signs of the times are coming. Signs of the times. Well, God's not going to bring judgment upon his people. He's going to remove them, protect them in some way. How he does that, I don't know exactly. But you have this thing called the rapture. This event is described as rapture. Christ is coming fast approaching. Seems that the prophecies which have to be completed before his return have been fulfilled. Not all of them, but some, a lot of them. The Lord will descend with a shout to the trumpet of God, not to be confused with the seven trumpets of the tribulation. People have that confused. Different set of trumpets. All believers, living and dead, will suddenly meet the Lord in the air. Like an eager bride waiting, the church waits for the final accumulation of the union with her groom. And the church is not four walls or religion. The church are those that have accepted Jesus as Savior. That's the church. It doesn't have a name except a Jesus Christ follower. Christian, not to be confused with Christianity. Well, there's a concept for you. As bad as it is today in our world, it could and will get worse after it gets better. It's going to get worse, get better, and then get worse. It's not negative thinking. It's the way it's going to be. Judgment is coming. It's acceptable. There's a restraining influence in our world today that holds this evil back in ways that we can't even imagine. this dark satanic tide of perversion and lawlessness, we get a glimpse of it every now and then in our news here in America. But we're starting to see more and more family members killing family members. Commit suicide is rampant. Or maybe it's being reported more. Maybe it's always been happening, but now it's reported. Either way, it's increasing. Who has the power to restrain Satan? Only God does. It's God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, who draws a line today, keeps the ocean of evil at bay. The word rapture actually means an expression or manifestation of ecstasy or passion. In Latin, it's raptere. Translated from the Bible, raptere. Hapaizo in Greek. It's carried away by overwhelming emotion is rapture also. But the Bible tells us that it means that millions of people will disappear from the face of the earth in less than a millisecond. Can you imagine? Ah, come on. Really? So you don't believe the Bible and Enoch and Elijah being taken up alive, huh? Or Jesus coming back from the dead. Or even Lazarus being raised from the dead. See, there's three different examples. Right there is three different ways of God can manipulate, shall I say, our particle molecules. He shows us in examples. Lazarus and that young girl died twice. Died, raised from the dead, got old, died again. Elijah and Enoch were alive and taken up, never died. Jesus, on his own, died and rose again with a different body. Looked different even. The purpose of that evacuation is to avoid horrific devastation of the rapture, because the evacuation will remove God's people from disastrous effects of coming earthquakes, fire, and global chaos that happens in the first trumpet on to the seventh. And the word rapture, as I said in the Latin version of a phrase the Bible uses to describe the catching away of all Christians before the end times. The Lord will descend with a shout and a trumpet of God, like my theme song talks about. All believers, living and dead, will suddenly meet the Lord in the air. If you go through the tribulations of today, and you've taken Jesus Christ as Savior, denied self, you lived that life of a born-again Christian, why would God also put you through the judgment of His judgment upon this earth? Now, persecution? Yes, that's going to happen. At what point? I don't know. The fifth seal says there'll be souls on the altar, those killed proclaiming Jesus is Lord. That's yet to happen. All believers, living and dead, will suddenly meet the Lord in the air. In other words, you leaving this earth in preparation for the terrible times ahead, He takes you home. Some people leave a little early. The focus of this rapture is on looking at the event, not from the viewpoint of those who remain, but from those that are evacuated out. Satan's going to have to explain this. So the ones left back will not feel they've been left behind, but they're special. And Satan doesn't know when this is going to happen. He may have to have a fake one. Who knows what? As long as you know in your heart that you've taken Jesus as Savior, it don't matter whether he has a fake one or otherwise, you know when you're gone. That's all that matters. But right now it matters that you spread the gospel to others. talking with your families. You know, before the period of this tribulation, the great tribulation breaks out, all true followers of the Lord will be caught up from the earth and right into the presence of the Lord. The rapture will fulfill the promise He made the disciples in John 14. So let's take a look at John 14, 1 to 3. Let not your heart be troubled, yet believe in God. Believe also in me. See, right there it says He's God, doesn't He? People miss that sometimes. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Those who follow Jesus Christ, who are raptured, will be spared the trauma of death and the coming disasters that are going to occur when the tribulation breaks out upon the earth. There is indeed a cause for true rapture on the part of those who love the Lord and long to be with Him. Because you will be. Doing good deeds won't get you there. Tomorrow I'll talk about, if I can find it, what it means to last to the end. It talks about in the Bible. We'll talk about that tomorrow night. So, this rapture, really, we don't know what's going to happen. Whether it's pre-trib, mid-trib, protected during the tribulations in the mountains, whatever, and then post-trib, nobody knows. Not really, everybody pretends to know, but they don't know. And the New Testament indicates that the rapture of those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ is the next major event on the prophetic calendar. In other words, the rapture awaits us on the horizon. It could happen any moment. It's a clear message of the Bible. There's no one to say when it's going to happen. God could do it any time. Could be some left behind that goes through the fifth seal. See, it's written in the Bible in such a way that nobody can really tell you when. A lot of misunderstanding also comes from confusing of these events of the rapture and the second coming. They think when you see the Lord in the air, that that's the second coming, but it's not. He has not touched down. Articles are coming out. People are getting wise of how they can use technology, holographic imagery, to fake the second coming. And extraterrestrial lies is coming. That's been set up for a long time. To fake the coming of the Lord, it would be the false prophet that comes that way. He must come and descend as He left, but they'll make it look like a spaceship or something. Family, that was planned back in 1917. Actual plan started early part of the 20th century. That was what the Star Wars Reagan was all about, too. HARP, holographic imagery. Filling the atmosphere with strontium, barium, niobate, satellites, projectors, technology that a lot of people don't realize. Voice to soul technology to put voices in the head. I talked about that today. That's well perfected. Y'all getting the point here? How they can fool even the very elect? We talk about the signs, the signal, the return of Christ. We speak not of the rapture, but of the Lord's ultimate return to the earth. And all the saints, that's the second coming. According to the book of Revelation, the coming of Christ occurs after the rapture and differs from it in many different ways. First, the rapture will be a stealth event in which Christ will be witnessed by believers only. They'll disappear. But the unsaved will not see Jesus Christ, but the saved will. What they'll see is a lot of people disappearing. His second coming, on the other hand, will be a public event. Everyone will see him. Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Talks about it in John of Revelation 1:7. And even in Zechariah, Old Testament. In Zechariah 14, behold, the day of the Lord, that's what it's called, cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. And in Zechariah 3:5, and I said, let them set fair mitre upon his head, M-I-T-R-E. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. The angel of the Lord is Jesus Christ. The day of the Lord is his coming. The day of the Lord is that tribulation. And then, of course, Revelation 19, verse 1 to 21, talks all about his second coming. Now, secondly, all believers are raptured. Jesus will immediately take them back to heaven with him. When Christ returns to earth 7 years later, in the second coming, he's coming to stay. And this second coming we talk about now is what's called the second advent. That's what that refers to. The second advent. And that will take place at the end of the tribulation period. And that will usher in the millennium, which is a 1,000-year reign of Christ, to replace the earth and bring back his rule, his law, his word to a culture that had witnessed centuries upon centuries of Satan's rule on this earth will be wiped out. But it'll take 1,000 years to replenish the earth population of mortal beings that'll be tested after the 1,000-year tribulation, that 1,000-year millennium. They'll be tested when Satan is released for the final battle of Gog and Magog at the end of 1,000 years. People aren't talking about that. How come? It's in the Bible. So first, the rapture will occur 7 years before the second advent. At that time, Christ will take us to be with him, and immediately before the 7-year period, then secondly, to return to earth with him in the second advent. In between judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb will then make those that were mortal, immortal, and saints. There's another important difference between the second advent and the rapture. There are no events that must take place before the rapture occurs. All this other is just a lot of baloney. They're trying to fake everybody out. Technology. Supernatural whiz-bang smoke and mirrors, manipulation of the atmosphere by Satan. It's all a matter of God's perfect timing. You have to trust him. So when you talk about the signs that are developing concerning the Lord's return, it's the events that must occur before the return of Christ in the second advent. But, you know, as bad as things are becoming, you can't even begin to overstate the horror that will occur when this society worldwide loses the tempering influence of Christians. They want you gone? Well, this in lies the statement, be careful what you wish for. You just might get it. Because at the same time, God will remove his spirit. Restrainer will be removed. And it's going to get nothing but ugly down here. They have no idea. Helter skelter, like you've never seen before. But in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18, very important about what I'm talking about. They avoid that, don't want to talk about the rapture. But there's your bread and butter. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18, is the bread and butter. It says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that's the ones that are dead, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope break. So when we go to funerals of our loved ones, are we mourning for them or just ourselves? Because they were asleep. If they were born again, they're with God. So how can you mourn for that? First Thessalonians 4:14, continuing. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so to them also which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. How much more clear can you get? For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. That's a different trumpet than the tribulation trumpets. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. So those asleep in the grave, the bodies will be brought out, whether in the ocean, in the ground, cremated, it don't matter. God will bring those bodies back together in a glorified state. Shall we say, marry up with the soul and glorified. Then, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we'll be, ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. End. In other words, they want you to have fear to lose your faith. Fukushima, we're all going to die from radiation poisoning. Don't eat that. Don't eat this. FEMA's going to kill y'all. They're going to take us out, cut our heads off. Feel those guillotines? Look at those plastic coffins down in Georgia, y'all. Go outside and check your mailbox and see if you have a blue or a red marker. So the UN will come and you'll know they'll take you away if you have a red and blue marker. There's a meteorite coming going to kill us all. Tsunami going to sweep you away. What else is it? I don't know. What else they got going on? Oh, the market's going to crash. You're going to lose all your money. Take your money out. What are you going to do with your money? Anyway. Put it in the mattress, right? Like it's worth something. I guess I should sell gold, right? Sell gold on my website. Buy gold, so I can get 10% for it, right? Me knowing that they're going to make it illegal to sell the gold, it'll do you no good when you have it. I couldn't sell gold, and when I did another broadcasting, I said, Tom, won't you, you know, we need you to help us to sell gold, and you get commission. I just kind of, I do one of those, yeah, interesting. All I wanted to do was broadcast and just get through the nonsense. I couldn't do it. I couldn't say buy gold in my broadcast in TBN and RBN and the two networks I was before, Micro Effect and LBN or whatever, they wanted me to sell gold and you ought to do it and help spring us and all this. I said, I just kind of mumbled something and play Columbo like I didn't know what they was talking about. Pretend like I didn't know what they were doing. What I was trying to do was buy time because I didn't want to have to do it. Because I wasn't going to. I had no intention of selling gold and making money on my website. I was going to do my website with sponsors because I had to pay for it, but that fell through. Which it should have, I guess. But I couldn't sell gold because I knew the gold and silver was going to be confiscated. So I couldn't sell it. What it did in 1933? Gold Confiscation Act. Hello. So I just couldn't do it. Knowing what I knew wasn't right. So my point, as I started off an hour ago, was that everybody has your three-car garages and three cars that go in them, your $100,000 job, take a vacation wherever you want to go every year and all that. Can end in a second. And all you got is the food in your house, and that's all you're going to get till it's empty. America is going to experience that. When? I don't know when. For you all, just be ready when that time comes. It's not the fear. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Paul wrote, he didn't want us to be ignorant of this, but be knowledgeable of it. And when it does happen, you say, "Woo, well, here we go. Round one." And you'll see the panic. Did you all see the panic in Black Friday in November? Did you all watch that? People carrying around stun guns to get, they're fighting over flat screen TVs. Flat screen TVs don't work when you don't have electricity. I wonder if they figured that out yet. Anyway, everybody fighting over these things, man. Lazarus, these things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. It means to bring him back to life. Stephen, then Stephen knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. When he said this, he fell asleep. David. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. Acts 13:36. Jesus Christ, but now Christ has risen from the dead, has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. 1 Corinthians 15:20. So the concept of death is emphasized in this wonderful word Christians adopted for the burying places of their loved ones. This is Greek word komaterion, koimaterion. It means a rest house for strangers. a sleeping place. It's a word from which we get our English word cemetery. Cometerion, cemetery, a resting place. Notice the TV programs today. One of them's where, I forgot the name of it, Awaken or something, where the dead loved one comes to the door, knocks on the door or something. It's like, whoa, where you come from? Thought you were dead. Zombie thing going on. Gosh, Aunt Martha, what happened to your teeth? And where'd your arm go? Martha, you need some makeup bad. And you smelling awful bad. How long you been? You know, the only that's going on is zombie thing and people coming from the dead on TV. It's mockery. It's the word from which we get our English word cemetery. That's where it comes from. Do y'all know that? Like pharmacy, pharmakia, Greek, sorcery is what it means. Pharmacy is sorcery. That's amazing. You know, in Paul's day, the word was used for inns, what we would call a hotel or a motel. We check in as a hotel, Hilton Hotel, Ramada Inn, expecting to spend the night and sleep before we wake up the next morning, refreshed and raring to go. This is exactly the thought that Paul expressed in words like a quaimal or quaimaterion. When Christians die, it's like they slumbered peacefully in a place of rest, ready to be awakened at the return of the Lord. You ever stared at someone dead that you knew, and you look at them and you like expect them to just sit up or nod or something? You're like, oh. The words have great import, for they convey the Christian concept of death, not as a tragic finality, but temporary sleep. And then when you read Paul again, you affirm the hope that the loved one will live again. He does it by tying that hope, resurrection, and the rapture. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if you believe it, Jesus died and rose again, even as God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Paul tells the Thessalonians that, and of course we read it, us included, that God's plan for our future, he gives us a new perspective of what death really is. In the schools today, college and high school, and primarily high school, we're taught what I've talked about many times before, death education. And our kiddies, in this class today, we're taking out a values clarification. Describe to us your obituary. Write your mother's obituary. Write your own obituary. We're going to take a field trip to the cemetery and do your little carbon impressions with a piece of paper. You pick your favorite one out and let's see who can find the oldest one. Family, these teachers have got to be dumber than rocks or just plain, I don't know what. Because they're participating in this death education of a humanist manifesto that's being instituted in our schools since the day education started. John Dewey, father of American education, the father of American education, was a slam dunk, hardcore, bona fide, grade A humanist. And boy, he did it. And Horace Mann, we've been fooled since the day we went to first grade. And your grandmothers and your grandfathers. The balance was patriotism and war. Keeping the family together, kept it hidden. And boy, it came out after the Second World War, 1945, 1950. Humanism went, pew, sprang right on up. And said, I'm here. And it began to corrupt our education system in 1960s, enhanced with drugs, rock and roll music, anti-war, anti-family, anti-God, all at one decade? Something wrong there. Yeah, because it's planned that way. To all hit at the same time. Groundwork and roots were laid between 1908 time frame and 1945, laying the groundwork, but hidden in the background, brought to a full light in 1945, full steam ahead by 1950. This was planned out, man. This is amazing how they've done this, how Satan has influenced the Illuminati, the Jesuits, the all that secret society is, and you've heard me talk about this before. All planned out, but for naught, because Christ will return. We're going to go, and tomorrow night, and we'll talk more about the rapture and the end times events. What events will take place after the rapture, and well, those who have been cremated will be a part of the rapture, and we'll just talk about all kinds of stuff tomorrow about the rapture. And to be about the end, to be true to the end, we'll talk about that. So, family, in closing prayer, I do want to let you all know that we're also played in highpointradio.net. And I was advised by John Kirkler that he's losing some sponsors, and you know why? He's experiencing what we're experiencing here in Mount Airy. And I found some other places, small towns and such. The reason he's losing some of the sponsors, because they're going out of business. Mom and pop organizations are going out of business. That's why. It's happening here in Mount Airy. Mom and pop operations. And I said, oh, I know what that means. That's setting up for the North American Union. Europeans are going to take over. See, people don't see it coming. They're keeping it silent, keeping you busy. Bundy Ranch, Ferguson, black and white issues, pollution, overpopulation, all this stuff. Fear, Al-Qaeda, whatever, to keep you all tied up busy while they sneak around with their plans. Watch for the signs of the times. We'll continue talking about the end times events till Friday. Rise of the Antichrist, the false prophet, and 10-nation confederacy. And I want you all to pay particular attention. If I can find this name again. A name that you might want to keep your eyes on. Even I now am very curious about this individual. All the other fake ones I don't really concern myself about. Of alleged antichrists. But one has my attention. A charismatic New World leader who's taking control of Greece. I don't know if he is significant. Right now they're trying to say that Jesus Christ married Mary Magdalene and had two kids. That's the big thing going on now. That's actually been around that the Freemasons have believed. Now it's becoming public that Jesus Christ was married to Mary Magdalene. Leonardo da Vinci was an avatar. I got that documented in an Illuminati textbook that he was an avatar. So what does that mean? Well, the Last Supper was painted with by him being channeled. And that's where they got the idea of putting a woman next to Jesus at the Last Supper. Because Leonardo da Vinci don't have a clue who sat where in the Last Supper. All that leads into using that as gospel. No pun intended. But it's not. Keep your eyes on Alexis T-S-I-P-R-A-S. Find out where he comes from. Elected as Prime Minister of Greece. I don't know. I don't know. But keep your eyes on that fella. We'll see. He fits the profile, but then again, so do several others. He's backed by George Soros. Lexus Tsipras. Find out where he's from. Very interesting character. He asked specifically to create a peace treaty between Israel and the Palestinians. I don't know. We'll just see what emerges. My website is watchfulforjesus.com and my Facebook is watchfulforjesus. I'm going to close in prayer. Lord, thank you tonight, Bible study, and Father, to give us your Holy Spirit to touch us, tell us, to show us with wisdom, discernment about the end times events and the signs of the times, to inspire us and lead us, the words to speak that we can speak to others, to keep us humble, Lord, and that we glory in our infirmities, if that be the case. We pray for our families. We pray for those with courage to come out, start speaking the truth. Father, we pray you guide us in the right path. You put us where you want us. And give us the courage to stand up to the day as it's coming. We pray for a blessing over our families, over our friends, and Father, for a blessing of those that we witness to others. And Father, prayers will be answered. And guide us in the right direction. Lord, we pray for protection supernaturally. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thank you all for coming by tonight. And any points or questions or comments, appreciate it. So we'll close tonight, and then we'll see you all tomorrow, 4 to 6, at the broadcast. We'll continue on with the attack on the veterans. Then tomorrow night, we'll finish up with the rapture and whatever comes along with it. So you all have a good night, and God bless you all. And stay strong. Don't let them put fear in you. Stay strong to the end, which is actually the beginning. There is no end. Good night. God bless. It's your watchman, Thomas Gamble. I'm signing off. Good night.
Disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
I am with you. every day.